Yachtry Museum of the American West is a distinctive museum dedicated to American history, from prehistoric times through the age of the Wild West and today. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating exploration at the Yachtry. The Yachtry, named in honor of the museum's visionary creator, Western singer and motion picture star, Gene Autry, is conveniently located in Griffith Park, just off Interstate 5. A while ago, I had the pleasure to meet and visit with Jeffrey Richardson, who at the time was executive director at the Autry Museum. Richardson has held key positions at cultural institutions across the country and is the author of two books, called The Revolver of the American West and Howard Hughes and the Creation of Modern Hollywood.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Los Angeles, California. Right now, we are at The Autry with Jeffrey Richardson, Gamble, curator of Western history, popular culture, and firearms. Jeffrey, what a pleasure to be here. First of all, tell us, what is the Autry? People think of Gene Autry, but it's so much more than that.
Certainly. The Autry National Center, or the Autry as we like to call it, is a multicultural Western history museum in Los Angeles, Griffith Park. So we're directly across from the Los Angeles Zoo. The museum was established in 1988 by the singing cowboy, America's favorite singing cowboy, Gene Autry. But what's interesting to note, and the museum is not about Gene Autry. There have been other individuals from that particular time period, such as Roy Rogers, who have created, for lack of a better word, shrines to themselves. But what Gene Autry wanted to do is he wanted to give back to the community that made him as successful as he was. He was the only entertainer to have all five stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was the inaugural owner of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He was a businessman, philanthropist, an entertainer, and he wanted to give back to the community that made him so successful, and that was the American West. So he wanted to establish in Los Angeles a Western history museum that would explore the broader history of the American West. Not something that would just look at Western movie cowboys, singing cowboys, entertainers, but would look at that history of the American West from pre-contact all the way up until today. Now, when people think of the West, they often immediately kind of default to cowboys and to Indians, to John Wayne, to Monument Valley, and those things are here at the museum, but we're so much more. We have a variety of temporary and ongoing exhibitions that explore very different aspects of what you would think of when you think of the American West. This includes 20th century women designers. This includes Native Americans. This includes all of the different people that made the West the unique region that it is today. We have on display at the museum countless artifacts ranging from iconic paintings, iconic sculptures, Western history objects from various different groups. But what's I think also interesting is we have everyday objects here as well, things that people grew up with, that their grandparents grew up with, that their children are growing up with. So it's really a combination of all of those different things.
Let's take a quick walking tour, an overview of what somebody would see and experience here.
Sure. When the museum was established in 1988, they made a conscious decision to basically divide it between the mythic and the historic West. So when you enter the museum and make your way into the galleries on the upper level, you are really looking at what would commonly be referred to as the mythic West. And one of the biggest things that really kind of codified these images of the West, big wide open spaces, isolated individuals, these kind of vanishing races that were portrayed in the late 19th century. It was art that was really at the forefront of these. You know, beautiful piece of art. We're looking at here at a Thomas Moran painting of the Mountain of the Holy Cross. It's a huge painting that really gets at a lot of what the West was about. But on the mountain, you have a cross, which gave it this idea of that notion of manifest destiny that was there in the 19th century, that it was the God-given right of Americans to make their way across the continent. And of course, that kind of overshadowed all of the negative negative things and all of the connotations that goes with that, that the fact that this wasn't a great wide open space, that there were people here who had been living here for millennia and who had established a certain way of life that as a result of this notion of manifest destiny would ultimately disappear or at least be seriously impacted.
The moment I stepped into the foyer was 10 million school kids, and that's what we hear in the background, and they are just having a fabulous time, you can tell.
One of the most important things that we do here at the museum is provide this information for a generation of kids who didn't grow up watching Western movies or Western television shows. For them, the West is not something that's part of their everyday life. So what we do here at the museum is we provide access for these school kids to come to the museum and learn about the history of the American West. So we bring them here so they can learn more about their own history in a variety of different ways, and oftentimes ways that they might not expect.
I wish this was television and not radio, because the works of art on the walls in front of us right now are just spectacular.
And what you're seeing here is some of the really classic Western artists, as I mentioned, Thomas Moran, Frederick Remington, Charles Russell, Albert Bierstadt, John Gass. We are walking into what is really a common Hollywood Western town. This is a back lot that was created by Walt Disney's Imagineering. And what this looks at is what you would see in any Western show that was from the early 20th century, even up until today. So you have your post office, your Wells Fargo. What's interesting is, while a certain audience grew up with this and they know about this, those school kids walk in here, and this is like the thing that they would expect to find in a Disney World, because to them, it's not something that resonates with them. It really has no meaning. So what we try to do is explain to them how this notion of what the West looked like, which was portrayed on screen, really impacted people's understanding of the American West. We then make our way into our Imagination Gallery, which looks at the history of the Western genre, all the way from its earliest time, all the way up until the present. And this was a time in the early 20th century where Westerns were some of the first motion pictures that were made. And we nowadays kind of overlook the power and the importance of movies, but around the turn of the 20th century, they were very, very powerful. They really changed people's perspectives of how they viewed things. You didn't have women in Western film in very progressive roles. They were always kind of damsels in distress that needed the great Western hero to come save them. African Americans were not part of the Western narrative for so long. So what we try to do in this gallery is look at how the West evolved over time and how different social and cultural conditions changed the way the West was portrayed on screen.
Some of the artifacts that you have here are just stunning. They're absolutely stunning. And this is original provenance stuff, isn't it?
Because of Gene's connections, he was able to make the contacts of the people that he was able to be contemporaries with and say, your artifacts are important. They need to be preserved. So people like William S. Hart, Tom Mix, Buck Jones, Tim McCoy, Ken Maynard, Russell Hayden, Charles Sterrett, Wild Bill Elliott, people who were really at the forefront of the Western film in the 20th century. They're all represented here. We have, of course, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood. We have costumes, props, and other things from their films here on display in this particular gallery. The museum galleries have some of the finest Western saddles ever made.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend.
Around the corner here where these kids are looking at, they are looking at the case for Gene Autry. It really is going to put Gene into perspective for these kids, because for most of them, they might know him as the owner of the Los Angeles Angels. But they also might not realize, come Christmas time, they hear Gene's voice everywhere, because here's the individual who sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who wrote and sang Here Comes Santa Claus. So in the Gene Autry case, we have one of the kind of great artifacts that we have here at the museum, which was Gene Autry's original Martin D45 guitar. The D45 is considered arguably the greatest American acoustic guitar that's ever made, and the first one ever produced was produced on special order for Gene Autry. So really great piece.
And there it is.
Exactly. And then we turn the corner And we look at probably the most famous map in history. And this is the map to illustrate the Ponderosa in Nevada. This was the map that was seen at the opening sequence every week for Bonanza. But the other thing that we try to do is to bring the unexpected as well. And around the corner right here, we have an entire case devoted to Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson took Western clothing, Western props, and incorporated them into his everyday routine, his everyday outfits. So we have an outfit that is very reminiscent of something that Roy Rogers would have worn.
Mm-hmm. While Wes goes into the outer space.
Exactly. And then we also have an outfit that at first glance doesn't really look Western. It's a red Western bib front shirt, just the type that John Wayne would wear around the corner. But Michael Jackson added his own unique designs, his own unique style to it. So for kids who don't know Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, even John Wayne or Clint Eastwood, we try to bring people like Michael Jackson into the museum so kids can understand how these individuals, these iconic entertainers, have built upon this Western tradition. For many people, the Western genre is dead. But one of the last things you're going to see as we make our way out of this particular gallery are the two intertwined shirts from the film Brokeback Mountain. Now, for many people, the film Brokeback Mountain, it's a lightning rod. It's something that people are either very proud of or there's something that people really just don't like. But what we try to do here at the museum is present everyone's stories without any sort of bias. For a long time, the LGBT community was one whose story was not told. And when we had the opportunity to put these two shirts on display, we were very proud to do so. And Gene Autry's widow, Mrs. Jackie Autry, came to the museum. And the one thing she said was, Gene would have been very proud to have these shirts on display because what they did was exactly what he hoped the museum would do, which was tell everyone's story. And this was a story that was so often overlooked. So many people were forced to flee these Western towns because of their beliefs, because of their way of life. And this was one way for the Autry to kind of say that this is a story that needs to be told in its proper setting. So we're very proud to have these shirts on display here. The Southwest Collection, which is one of the finest native collections in the world, it's a collection that really highlights an entire people. And it's something that now, as the stewards of that particular collection, so working with Native peoples, we have set about dedicating one gallery upstairs at the moment, which is the Norman F. Sprague Jr. Gallery, which is showcasing the different aspects of the Southwest Collection. So this gallery is always going to be dedicated to looking at Native peoples, really from a Native perspective. But we also feel it's important to tell a Native story from a first-person perspective, using Native scholars, Native collectors, Native historians to tell that story so people can understand their contributions to the American West. We are a Western history museum, so we do have a cowboy gallery. You know, again, the things that people are going to expect to see, cowboys, Native Americans, screen cowboys, those things are here, but we also have unexpected things that people might not expect. We also have an entire exhibition at the moment called California's Designing Women, which looks at 20th century women designers in California. And you're going to see works of art, decorative art pieces. You're going to see chairs, lamps, types of things that you might not expect to see in a Western history museum on display here, again, showing how these women were part of the tradition of the American West. So we're making our way into our cowboy gallery, which is designed to look at different decades of the cowboy and how it changed from being out on the range into modern ranching and a variety of other things. But what we have right in front of us is a group of school kids who are learning about these different ranching techniques, what those techniques meant not only for the people performing them, but for the environment, for the economy. So they're looking at a variety of different aspects.
As well as when you're on the floor, you're walking around the desert. You also have this spur right here, okay? This is called a spur, this little contraption that goes on. Now this part right here, it's called a rowel, okay? Everybody say rowel.
Rowel!
Very good.
We also have at the museum a family discovery gallery, and this is a gallery designed specifically for children. And this is an area where kids can go in, they can pick things up, they can touch things, they can play with things, they can dress up. We're making our way into what we refer to as our Law and Order Gallery. And this is where the gunfighters are, the people that you can think of. Frank James, Wyatt Earp, Billy the Kid. We have Billy the Kid's rifle on display there. We have Wild Bill Hickok's 1851 Navy. Black Bart, the great stagecoach robber, we have his shotgun on here. Emmett Dalton's Colt revolver that he used in the failed Coffeyville raid. We have a dedicated Colt gallery This particular gallery has over 100 Colt revolvers on display, all the way up until the gun that won the West. We have Teddy Roosevelt's gun that he carried when he was in the 1880s in the Badlands. We have Gene Autry's gun. We have the gun of the Lone Ranger. We even have guns on display in this particular gallery that were designed by Tiffany & Company. When you think of Tiffany & Company, you might not necessarily think of firearms. So we take something like a firearm, something that obviously was made for a very distinct purpose. We're not trying to say firearms are good or firearms are bad, but we're trying to present these things to allow people to make an educated decision about these artifacts that played an important role in Western history.
Jeffrey Richardson, this has just been fascinating. What a wonderful journey. And you know what the brilliance of your pottery is? Your location. How convenient.
We're right off the 5 freeway and the 134 freeways here. We're directly across from the Los Angeles Zoo. Probably the most important aspect of the museum, free parking. And in Los Angeles, you don't get a lot of free parking. To find out more information about the museum, please visit theautry.org. We have programs that bring in lecture series, panels. We do a monthly film series here at the museum. Those are the types of things that we do here at the museum. And again, I think people would be surprised what we have, what we do here at the museum. While we have cowboys and Indians, we're a lot more than that.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.